Good evening, Bloomington. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCLRadio.com. The In the Zone radio program coming to you live here on a Wednesday night for the first time in a week as we get you caught back up in the world of sports happening here in Bloomington and Indiana. I'm Mike Glasgow. Alongside of me is my good friend Terry Stoltz. T, good afternoon. How are you?
Glass, a little cold, but all is good. All is good.
Well, we haven't we didn't have Monday to do any radio, so it's been three Indiana basketball games since we've caught up with everybody in listening world. So we've got plenty to do there. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the European Champions League today or the Ashes cricket. Obviously, we've got too much stuff to go on.
Exactly.
In that department. But the Indiana Hoosiers of Archie Miller had three games in, what, 6 days? Can I do the math on that? Yeah, three games
right.
In 6 days. And everybody in the Big Ten had to fall in that same category to play a home and away game in a three-day span, so everybody was on even footing. We know the Big Ten season started earlier this year because of the Big Ten tournament. That's going to be a week earlier, so you lose that week in late February, early March, where you usually would play your last couple of games, and they had to put them somewhere. You can't put them during finals week. You can't put them during dead week or try to cram them in between Christmas and New Year. They didn't want to do that, so everybody is on the same footing. You can't really be mad about it. Those who are mad about it probably didn't win a couple of those games or play very well, if that's what you're concerned about, and that's what Indiana didn't seem to be concerned about. They knew what they were getting into. The schedule has been out for a while. It wasn't an adjustment because of crazy weather or anything else. It is what it is. And the Hoosiers got their little three-game spell kicked off with the Duke Blue Devils. You and Dave handled that program last Wednesday night. And we'll just start there in chronological order. I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. And the one thing we learned out of the Duke game was it looks like this Indiana team at home, Terry, is going to give some folks some problems because, number one, it's a tough place to play. As we know, the crowd is ornery and whatnot. And when Indiana does things well, they can do some things well. They're not a perfect team by any stretch of the imagination, but I think we saw some signs of life in the Duke game that probably put a smile on a few Hoosiers' faces. Not the final score. I mean, Archie told us about that. He said, hey, we didn't beat Duke. It's great that we're playing hard. We need to do those things. But Indiana gave the number one team in the country a pretty good fight.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they're comfortable at home. Let's face it, they are. They played harder. They played more consistent. Finally, you know, they got some shots to fall, Glass. I mean, it's just like, and Dave and I talked about it. The main thing, we have four or five what I would call capable wing shooters. Now, one of them has decided to transfer, so we don't have him. But what we did get was a couple of those guys, and then occasionally one of the others, actually against Eastern Michigan it started, and then again against Duke, they hit some three-pointers. Not a great percentage, mind you, but they hit some. And if they hit some, that allows us to get Deron Davis more involved. And Juwan Morgan is just killing it right now. So, yeah, I think anybody we play at home this year, we're going to give a stiff test. I'm not going to say we're going to win all our Big Ten home games, but there's a good possibility that we could. They need to develop some consistency and toughness on the road. But at home, I'll take our chances.
And it's always easier to play at home. Why? You're more comfortable. It's your crowd. Your crowd can pick you up when you're having a tough time. You saw that in the game. That place was rocking.
Great crowd. Should have been rocking.
Because the old joke about how do you get your home crowd involved is really simple. It's give them something to cheer about. So when you play well, that comes part and parcel with it. But as you saw, maybe in a compare and contrast situation, when Indiana got off to a poor start at Michigan, there is no crowd to fall back on, and you need to find out yourself how to dig yourself out of those holes. And we'll talk about Michigan here slightly. You talk about the three-point shooting. Nobody made more than one against Duke. They shot only 5 of 21. I guess the upside was Duke only made three three-pointers.
Yeah.
Out of 17 tries, so that kind of wiped itself out in that game. But what you did see in the Duke game was Indiana did not knock down multiple threes, perhaps when they had some looks to do so, to help get that game swayed in their direction. And the other thing that jumps directly off the page is Duke's really good. I don't think anybody was surprised to see that. But seeing Indiana's interior defense against some of the length and physicality of Duke, that's going to be another area of concern moving forward. And as we mentioned, there's no free agency deadline. There's no trade deadline where you can bring guys in and shore up your front court because you see that as a weakness. That's kind of the card you've been dealt. As you mentioned, Curtis Jones did transfer over the weekend at some point. He is no longer with Indiana men's basketball. We wish Curtis the best. But it kind of goes back to one of those other issues as well. Indiana doesn't have guys that can knock down jumpers all night. And you saw that at Michigan. You saw it against Duke. You saw it against even Iowa in a rousing victory. Heck, a 23-point lead at home. You had some guys making some shots, but on a consistent basis, I don't think Indiana shot the three-point ball very well against Iowa either. And if you're not knocking down shots, there's two things you need to do, and Archie Miller has made no bones about any of this. Number one is you have to get the ball in the paint. You have to get the ball around the rim. You have to get the ball to the free throw line. And the other thing is, if you're not knocking down a lot of shots, you can't give up possessions to the other team via the turnover and lose chances to score. And that's a one thing that I think we saw in the Indiana game against Duke. 9 turnovers for the night. Duke is never going to be accused of being a lockdown defensive. Nobody in the ACC plays any defense. We know that and have known that for 100 years. But what Indiana didn't do in those situations where we've seen perhaps maybe in Seton Hall or the Michigan game on the road or even the Indiana State game was, you didn't hurry into decisions. You didn't hurry into bad decisions. You didn't hurry into trying to make a Hollywood-style play. And against Duke, I think that's what I took away from it and said, you know what? They understood the gravitas of this moment. They understood the opponent. You can hot dog in Hollywood a little bit if you want to do it against Indiana State. Well, that shows you what you got. They hit 17 threes on you and beat you. But against those teams that maybe aren't at the level of Duke, you think maybe I can try this or maybe I can force it a little bit more because I know I'm maybe physically more gifted or I can get my own shot or get where I need. Against Duke, that wasn't the case. They had to be more by the book. And I thought that was what I took out of that game. I said, okay, they have been told what to do and they are executing that plan. And that was positive to see, where in the second half of the Seton Hall game, I couldn't make that argument.
No, that's for sure. At Seton Hall, we got a good 20, 22 minutes and then that one got away from us. We got 35 or 36 good minutes against Duke. We hit some timely shots against Duke. Not a lot of sort of three-point variety. And the one thing that Dave and I talked about was what we had to do against Duke was if we got a stop, we had to go down and score. We couldn't have empty possessions.
Yeah, this game wasn't going to be a game in the 60s.
Exactly.
That wasn't going to happen.
And if we didn't score, then we damn well better go down and get another stop. Because and what we ended up having happen, and late in the second half, 2-3, 4-point leads, and each time we got the 4,
couldn't get
they beat
six.
Us down the floor. No, they beat us down the floor, and we fouled a guy on a layup, and they got a 3-point play 3 straight times.
Yeah, it's 6 3-point plays in the second half, the
exactly.
natural kind. So when we talk about not making 3-pointers, well, they found other ways to do them.
They did.
I know making 3-point plays with a layup, dunk, and a free throw are a lot easier than making 22-footers.
Absolutely.
Well, that's part of it. But the Hoosier, they didn't fold. They had a couple chances down 10. They got punched in the face. They got off the canvas. They were staggered a little bit, but with the help from the crowd, with the help from good plays on both ends of the floor, they got back in the game. It's 75-75 with 5 minutes to go. Any Indiana fan before the game started would have cut their hand off to say, okay, we'll play Duke the last 5 minutes on our home court tied, because that means we're probably doing something right.
Absolutely. And they did. They, you know, from low turnovers to really a pretty good shot selection, excellent defense. We actually are rotating and playing some, like where all 5 fingers of a hand are moving at the same time.
Connected. The coaches like to call
they
it
connected. They are connected. And, you know, it's good to see. I do like the fact that we're more patient, and there's no doubt we are getting – these guys in this offense are able to get the ball into the post. And right now, still a work in progress. You know, a lot to go and a long season ahead, but we're talking Duke right now. So at the end of that game, I felt good about ourselves and still thought we let a win get away.
75-75 winning time. You saw why Duke is good. You saw why Duke is the best team in the country, because they have multiple players who can make multiple plays. The next step for Indiana is going to be finding how to get comfortable in those situations instead of there were shots there that weren't questionable per se. I'm not sure the right guy was shooting them. I think you could have taken advantage a little bit more in a couple different things. But Duke did lock it down defense. If Duke's going to play 4 minutes of defense tonight, it's going to be in the last 4 minutes. You saw that against Florida. You saw that against even Portland State came a little bit of problem there. Coach K talked about that in the post game. He said, look, you know, we're not, we haven't been really good for 40 minutes, but we'll, when the money's been on the table at the end, we've been really, really, really good.
The Michigan State game in that opener. They locked them down in the last 7 to 8 minutes of that game.
They did. And Duke's going to give up some points, and Indiana's going to take some points. The Hoosiers just couldn't find that big bucket they needed. They couldn't find the big free throws they needed. They couldn't find the and-ones like Duke were getting down the stretch. But it did give you some hope as to think, well, Indiana's played Duke, maybe not as good a Duke team, or maybe just as good of a Duke team with maybe better players, and the result was a lot different that we saw a couple years ago after Maui going to Cameron. That was not a lovely night of efforting, but that's what you saw, and a team needs to play hard, and if you can't play hard, you really can't do a lot of other things. It doesn't matter. If you're not in transition defense, it doesn't matter that you're doing some other things. If you can't identify who's hot, if Grayson Allen's going to hit 23-foot step-back three-pointers, you throw your hands up and you say, okay, he made one. Better job there. The next step for this team, and we will talk about it when we come back from the break, is putting that effort together two games in a row. We knew it was a quick-ish turnaround, lunchtime at Michigan on Saturday, so that just gave you Thursday. You get done at midnight on Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, and boom, you're at lunchtime on Saturday. So, no, it's not easy. It's Big Ten, big stage, big world, whatever that commercial is. I keep saying that. It's true. Well, that's what you got to do. But what you can't do is you can't stop. You can't be satisfied with that. You've got to take it to the next step. And we'll talk about the Michigan game when we come back. 812-333-2665. That's Terry. I'm Glass. You're in the zone on a Wednesday night on WGCL. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCLRadio.com in the Zone Radio program Wednesday, December 6th. There's Terry Stoltz. Hello, T.
Yes, sir.
I'm Mike Glasscott. Thanks for being with us. Dave will be back next week having a little tune-up, and he'll be raring to go for the holiday season before you know it. Coming up the rest of this week, busy, busy, busy. It's always busy when football and basketball are intersecting. Tomorrow night, NFL action for you. Big NFC South matchup, the Saints and Falcons getting together. Westwood One's pregame begins at 8 o'clock, kick around 8:30 there. Terry and I will be traveling to Perry Meridian on Friday night as we will see the Bloomington North Cougars for the first time this season. They will take on the Perry Meridian Falcons, the Cougars falling to BNL and Center Grove in their first two games. They all run together. And Perry Meridian 1-3, so a big night for North to get into the win column. Perry is struggling to score points. North is not. They had a really good account of themselves against a good Center Grove team last Saturday, falling there. What was that, 87-78, somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah, a nine-point game, and a game that I would imagine, as I speak to Jason Spear here soon, that he probably thinks the BNL game the Saturday before got away from him. So this we are going up to bring the Cougars a win back.
Just like
with
you guys
us.
Did with Edgewood.
Of course.
Last Friday night, big win for them against against Cloverdale. Last Friday, you can see our entire high school basketball schedule at WGCLRadio.com, and we'll be coming soon to a popcorn-laden gym near you.
Yeah.
Saturday, it rolls on. More football. It's the Army-Navy game. 1:30 pregame. Philadelphia is a busy place this weekend. Todd Yeagley's College Cuppers will be there. The Indiana Hoosiers, their 19th Final Four in program history. They'll play on Friday and hopefully Sunday. 8:45 ESPNU, but we'll have Army-Navy for you on Saturday. The tradition, the pomp, the circumstance that goes with that. I don't know if you've seen the uniforms they're going to wear yet. They're pretty cool. The Navy ones are going to be Blue Angels motif, and then Army released theirs the other day. They're going to be the 10th Mountain Division, and they're white like snow, and they've got the
I've been on their website and seen that.
Tucker Blackwell's playing quite well.
Tucker was all tournament team for Army in that little tournament they played in last weekend.
Former South
off the
Panther.
Bench. So I did notice the new Army uniforms.
Those are pretty cool.
Very nice.
And it's nice that they do that. Obviously, these kids going on to do other things besides play professional football Protecting our freedom is pretty important as well. Hoosiers are on the road, 2 o'clock, Louisville, the Yum Center. We'll talk about that game here coming up shortly. Colts and Buffalo, we'll get to that the last segment of the program for a couple of minutes. Colts, more injury problems. John Simon is now done for the year. That makes it 11 starters on injured reserve. Colts and Buffalo, Bob Lamy's pregame begins at noon, and we'll wrap things up. The Battle of the Birds on Sunday night. Philly, the 10-2 Eagles in Seattle, who had a big win on the weekend as well. They will get together 7:30 Sunday night football right here on WGCL. And while you're at the website, sign up for the Hometown Holiday Tour. All you need is one entry. It's all you can sign up for. You could possibly win a $500 Visa gift card and other great prizes as part of the Hometown Holiday Tour with WGCL. Contest rules, brick-and-mortar shops, all our sponsors and great prizes can be found, again, at the website WGCLradio.com. 812-333-2665. Talking hoops here on a Wednesday night, chilly Wednesday night. Boy, it's going to get cold tomorrow as well. Feels like basketball season, that's for sure. And the Indiana Hoosiers broke up a two-game losing streak on Monday night against Iowa. But before that, Terry, we leave the Duke game. Everybody's in a good frame of mind. Indiana can play with teams at this level. They're upset that they didn't. Archie Miller's upset they didn't close the deal. And just wanted to see kind of a carbon copy effort on the road. Against Seton Hall, the Hoosiers scratched and clawed in that first half. Devontae Green hit some big threes, lost his shoe, made a steal. We're in the game, I think only down one at halftime with Seton Hall, led there in the last two minutes. And then the second half came around and you saw some Indiana reverting to some old habits that might have got them in some problems last year when they finished 10th in the conference. Start throwing the ball around, start taking the first halfway decent shot they look at, not really doing the stuff they've been working on. And we've heard the coaches lament during this tight schedule the one thing that they really are bothered by, not the quick turnaround for games. Everybody likes playing games. Coaches like games, players like games. They don't have any time really to adjust in practice to go through film and adjust things on the court. So it's kind of a, hey, sink or swim, what did you learn from it? And sadly, the Hoosiers at that 12:30 start on Saturday in Ann Arbor looked like a team that either forgot to get off the bus or just didn't want to pull or believe what they did against Duke was going to translate. And that was disappointing. And you saw how upset Coach Miller was during the game. You saw how upset he was after the game, because that's not the level of expectation that he's setting with this team. And you can't get off to a bad start on the road. There's no crowd to dig you out. And there you are. What's the score? 12-2?
12-2. The first time he got a chance to take a timeout, or there was a timeout. And even I was in the car at the time, and Don Fisher is lamenting, this looks exactly like last year's game.
And last year's game in Michigan, for those of you who don't remember,
it was a quick 14-point hole.
It was, and it was 90-60 at the final horn, and Michigan shot 68% for the game. I looked that up because I didn't want to go down that road again. But the problem was with Indiana, it was okay, and okay doesn't count in the Big Ten, especially on the road. And you can't dig yourself those holes, Terry, when you go out. You give that crowd and you give that building some energy, and next thing you know, you're looking up and you're chasing 15, 16-point leads the entire half. What people don't understand about that is the effort to get back into a game like that burns twice as much energy as it does to take a lead, because when you're leading, you're happy and things are good and it's not nearly as cold and all that other stuff that goes with it. But other than Juwan Morgan, that was the most frustrating point. You've heard me talk about this forever, that if you have senior guards, you should have some kind of level playing field going on the road to at least get you in the game. And when you have senior guards that don't perform to their average standard or their averages or their standard, bad things can happen. Juwan Morgan gets full credit for putting the team on his back and just trying to keep them in the game in the first half. But when you look up at the end of the night, Robert Johnson's played 29 minutes. He's taken four shots, and none of them were three-pointers. And I just don't understand that. I didn't get that at all. So I didn't know if he was hesitant. I didn't know if they were marking him out of the game, so to speak. But if your big guys don't show up on the road, the guys with the most experience, 90 games apiece for Johnson and Newkirk, you can't rely on Devontae Green to do it. You can't rely on Justin Smith to come off the bench, or Al Durham, who's getting starts. That's fine. But that puts those kids in a bad spot when your big guys don't contribute.
Yeah, we need help. Well, the thing is, we have such a fine margin of error that we we can't do things. And when, especially when the shots aren't falling, we have to get the ball underneath. We've got to move the ball. At times we've looked great moving the ball around, finding the people inside. We seem to know how to attack a zone all of a sudden.
It's awesome.
Very, very good possessions against Duke when they finally went to it, and again the other night against Iowa. But, yeah, I mean, this is not a team that you don't want to get down 10, 12 points, especially on the road. You've got to come out and punch them in the mouth before they punch you in the mouth.
And the problem with it was our old friend turnovers came to visit there. I think there was, what, four or five of them before in that 12-2 run to get things started. You're in the game. You've already made four turnovers. That was, you're only down 10. That was the good part about it. But your point about moving the basketball is excellent. When you dribble the panels off of it, you're really easy to guard. When you go east and west and you're not putting any pressure on the defense – Michigan doesn't like to guard you. We've known that for years. They'd rather go up and down the court and get 90 and score 90-88 against you. So you didn't do anything to get them out of their comfort zone. You didn't identify perhaps defensively who the kid Poole came off the bench and just started knocking shots down left and right. And Jordan Poole, it's 5 out of 10 threes. Oh, would he have 14 in the first
game
half?
Game of his life, I'm
he
sure.
He did, and that's good because we didn't have anybody have their game of the life.
No.
And when you go on the road in the league, and you don't have guys playing to their average, or have a guy help you out with the game of their life, Juwan Morgan's fine. Juwan Morgan's going to score. Juwan Morgan's going to do really good things. But look at this again. Hey, look, there's Deron Davis in 18 minutes a game. The things that we've talked about that Indiana cannot do on the road. He cannot be a passenger on the road. And 2 for 7 from the field, those aren't numbers that even 7 shots isn't enough. But when Deron Davis can't get involved, when Josh Newkirk goes 3 for 8, Robert Johnson was 2 for 4. It's not like he was quote-unquote bad, but he had no assists and 3 turnovers.
Yeah,
That's a senior. If it's a sophomore, I give him a break and say, look, you haven't been through these wars a lot. And I'm not killing Robert Johnson. That's not the point. The point is his performance has to be at that Duke level on the road because there are too many good teams. Look what happened to Nebraska last night. They're at home playing Minnesota. Gophers come in ranked 15th or whatever it is. They're up 17, 19 points, 12, 14, 18 points the entire second half. Where are the nights off? Michigan State and Rutgers are 26-26 at halftime. Michigan State scores 62 points in that game and wins by 10.
Yeah.
Tell me where the nights off are on the Big Ten. Ohio State goes to Wisconsin and beats them 83-58. Where are the off nights? Everybody's got to show up. You've got to bring your lunch pail, and you have to get after it. Now, the turnovers did clear up in the second half.
Yeah, definitely.
That was great. That was good. The message is getting through. At least it was changed. But when you're chasing 16-point leads and you're trying to get back in the game, the Hoosiers never led. The game was tied right in the beginning, and that was it. And
they came out of the second half.
They got it down to 5.
And made a 12-1 run or something, got it to 5, and then – the three-point bomb and another. I mean, all of a sudden it was 8 to nothing, and that leads back to 13. And that was a ball game for all intents and purposes.
And you did a great job getting it to 5.
Yeah.
So there's credit where there's credit due, but getting to 5 is not winning the battle. There's more to play. And that goes back with digging that hole. You dig that hole, there is no crowd to bring you back into that game. You have to physically make shots, or you have to be so well disciplined to take the best shots and hope they go in. If they don't go in, Terry, they don't go in. That's one thing we know. But Indiana gets to the foul line 14 times in the game. They got to the foul line how many times in the second half? Second half, 6 of 9. Not bad.
Yeah.
But when you're not – when you need to cut into deficits and you're not able to knock down three-point shots, where do you need to go? They only took 7 threes in the game. That's it. So when you're down 16, you have to get to the foul line because it stops the clock, where you have to get baskets inside the paint. And Deron Davis only playing 18 minutes, you can kind of draw your conclusions there. So what did we learn from the Michigan game? It's not a finished article yet, and I think anybody watching this team knows that. There are some deficiencies there. When you dig a hole that deep, you don't have somebody like James Blackman Jr. where you know he can hit 3 threes on consecutive possessions, 3-3-3, and you boom, 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 you're right back in the game on
that. Yeah.
That's the tough part there. The good news is you've seen more from Colin Hartman. He gave you 8 rebounds in 20 minutes. He is playing himself back into shape. Dave always asks what that means. You know, why does a guy need game time? Well, because the game is played differently. The stops, the starts, the physicality. Your buddy in practice isn't going to body you up like the guy on the other team.
You don't have adrenaline in practice
right.
that you have during a
Not
game.
The same.
And also during a game, you burn that adrenaline. And at some point, until the proverbial second wind kicks in, you're going to, you know, it's, God, it's just, it's a whole different ball.
And I haven't been to an Archie Miller practice yet, but most coaches, you don't play for 5 minutes, then
no.
they stop. You're stopping every couple sets to be coached. And so it's not that game speed. You have a chance to catch your breath. You have a chance to think about the next play that's coming or listen to the instruction. And that's what made Hoosier fans happy on Monday as they built a big lead, 41-26 at halftime. Iowa comes back in the second half, and we'll talk about how they are learning and moving forward. I don't think this is a team stuck in some kind of gear that's not sure where to go from here. You are seeing signs of progress, and we'll talk about that when we come back. 812-333-2665. Hoosiers 0-1 in Big Ten play as we leave before the Iowa game, a Monday night game. We saw the Hawkeyes shooting around at Bloomington North. A little power outage there in the Assembly Hall.
It was all planned, I think.
Luckily, they got that game in Indiana, had their shooting boots on, and we'll talk about that when we come back. 6:35, that's Terry. I'm Glass. You're in the Zone on a Wednesday night on WGCL. .638 at WGCL. Terry and Glass with you in the Zone here on a Wednesday night. Saints and Falcons tomorrow night. We'll be with you on Friday for North and Perry Meridian from Perry Meridian. Cougars looking for their first W of the year. Terry will have Chalk Talk with Coach Jason Spear just a little after 7, and we'll get you ready for high school hoops on that. Hoosiers head to Louisville 2 o'clock on Saturday. Then they have finals all of next week before heading to Notre Dame at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The Louisville Cardinals T have lost their last two games, including one to the Seton Hall Pirates. That sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that was at the Yum Center.
That was at the Yum Center.
I watched a lot of that on TV, 79-77. So one thing that tells me the Cards can get beat at the Yum Center.
They can. And the Cardinals also lost to Purdue in the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
Yes.
The Boilermakers took care of them. So it's not all reputation and everything else. I think that's what the preseason ranking is a little bit with the issues they've had in the last couple of months. Obviously with the a new coach in David Pageant handling the reins there. And then the Notre Dame Fighting Irish last night were beaten.
Oh, man.
As Taylor Persons hit a 24-footer with about one and one-tenth seconds left to break a 77 all tie. Ball State led almost the entire game, if I remember following that score correctly. So Notre Dame is knocked off. They fall at their home court as well. So Indiana's next two opponents have lost home games. Well, Indiana was beaten by Duke and lost on the road to Michigan. So college basketball this year, what I've seen, Terry, I'm going to tell you two things. Duke is really, really good, and Villanova is really, really good. Everybody else, Michigan State's there. They're close, but you know, my socks weren't knocked off last night on the road in the Big Ten, and I know that's not an easy place to play. I just told you about Indiana and Michigan. But those two teams seem to be the cream of the crop. There's about 5 or 6 other really good ones, and then you got a whole bunch of stuff. So everybody's playing for something, and that's why I think Monday night's game against Iowa wasn't crucial. It wasn't a must-win game. That doesn't happen in the first week in December because that would tell you the other 20 games are not they don't count. Well, that's not the case. This is not college football. The Hoosiers needed to play better than they did on Saturday. So here we are, another quick turnaround. Indiana and Iowa, 8 o'clock on Monday night. And the Hoosiers look like a team who had figured something out, and they jump out of the gates there in the second part of the second half and looked like the team we saw against Duke.
Yeah. Played, didn't turn the ball over much, got some timely shots, played some great defense, and kind of, I don't want to say propelled themselves, they kind of chugged along to a 15-point lead with a real nice run at the end of the half.
17-0 or something ridiculous like
unbelievable
that.
Unbelievable run when we were to get that lead. Okay. So now I'll let you continue as we head to halftime.
Well,
the unbelievable debacle that was the first 10 minutes of the second half.
Well, the roller coaster goes up, the roller coaster goes down. But one thing to point out, if you're talking about defense for Indiana, Indiana held Iowa had a bunch of first half turnovers. They had, I believe, 13 in the first half. Indiana had, I think, 9 or so before they got that corrected in half number 2. But if you take out Iowa's threes, and I know that's not how you do it, but I want to go back to your point about playing some defense. Knocking down some threes, that's the great equalizer in college basketball. We know that. Iowa was 6 of 14 in the first half from 3, 9 of 31 total. They were 3 of 17 from 2. So the only way Iowa's in the game is knocking down the 3. And why that was, I thought that Morgan and Deron Davis and Hartman and everybody else, Tyler Cook never got going. He was getting about 20 a game. He's a beast.
Yeah.
You see him on TV, he looks big. You should see him in real life. And he just couldn't get anything going on the inside there. So Iowa had a tough time finishing at the rim and around the rim because Indiana didn't foul, was in pretty good position. They didn't give up a ton of offensive rebounds where they could get stick backs and easy buckets to get back in that game. And holding the team to 26 first half points, there's nothing wrong. Remember, 6 of those were threes.
Yeah.
That's pretty good defense. Now, would you like the three-point defense to be a little bit better? Sure. Basketball's, it's not a game of perfect. But the run Indiana put on them late, knocking down shots, getting the building loud, and I think the first half was personified by how it ended as Josh Newkirk made a steal, again, another turnover that Indiana's defense was forcing, and even though he didn't complete the layup on the play, here comes your freshman sprinting down the court from Georgia, Al Durham, and has the court awareness not to grab it, find the seams, go up two hands and dunk it. He picks it up as fast as he can to lay it in to beat the buzzer. That's pretty cool. Now you know why he plays a lot in Archie Miller's system.
He's very smart, and he doesn't turn the ball over. So as I'm watching the second half, and I
Al Durham has one turnover in his last I'll have to go check the Michigan game on that.
Yeah,
he had a couple in Michigan.
He had a couple in the Michigan game.
He only had one against Iowa.
Yeah.
That's good. The Michigan game here I have in front of me. Now that's the Duke game. Michigan game. Al Durham played 23 minutes and had one turnover.
Okay.
You'll take that any night of the week from a freshman on the road. Are you kidding
me? He's doing fine. But we saw the things. One Iowa guy got hot.
Ellingson.
Ellingson got hot, brought him back by himself, talking trash, hitting threes, hitting runners in the lane. You cut it to 1. Okay, the crowd's done. 43-42
after a 15-point halftime lead.
But our guys at that point, they went down and scored. They got to stop. They got to score. They got another stop. And all of a sudden, we're up 5 again. Up 8 again.
I think it was the inspirational timeout, perhaps, that was in between
That was vintage.
I don't know if cameras could see, but I sure could.
I heard about it. And just from picking up you guys and listening at the end of timeouts before I want to go back as I'm checking out the Pacers or whoever else I'm checking out. And I believe it was made in no uncertain terms that Archie wasn't happy.
No, he was not. And it looked like a how can I put this? Because I want this to be a compliment. I don't want this to be taken the wrong way. It looked like he was being restrained and wanted to get out. That's how animated he was. And everybody was getting a little point, and every single person that was on the floor that had contributed to that 15 point of lead evaporating down to 1. And remember, that only happened in less than 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't a drawn-out process. 16:06, I think, was the timeout. So that's, you can do the math, 3:54 on that. But what happened? It's just kind of those old things that we've seen, and it's going to take time to break those habits. And I think that's what fans have to remember. There is no magical or proverbial corner that's turned. This is a constant reinforcement. This is a constant teaching. This is a constant change in a belief pattern, because some guys just didn't play hard all the time last year.
No.
They didn't. And now they're required to, or you will see the revolving door at the scorer's table, and they will change up things. And that's good. The benches is being used as a motivator. And if you don't get back on defense, and if you don't block out, and if you don't get loose balls, you're going to hear about it. Well, that's how I was brought up playing basketball. How about you?
Same thing
Ball
for me.
Ball bounces twice on a rebound, and everybody's standing there waiting for the next guy to go get it.
It's yours.
Out in transition. Why are they getting easy shots? Well, if you're jogging back, that's what happens. So the message was received. And just like perhaps in the second half against Michigan, where the fight was there because the message was received. Part of this is getting through. The message is always going to be there. Whether it's executed by those on the court is another thing. But where is it easier to execute your message? In front of?
Oh, your home crowd.
Your home
17-222, so going crazy.
So you get them up, you get them going. But why did they get back into the game? The crowd got back into the game because the players made plays. All of a sudden, they started shutting down guys. All of a sudden, I think Indiana missed their first 12 shots of the first half, first 11. It was some ridiculous number against to let Iowa back in that game. So what'd they do? Start moving the ball one extra pass. And then the shots were even more open. And the looks were better.
Yeah, as we talked before the Duke game, you know what? In our Indiana crowds are very knowledgeable. They know, even the older people know when it's time to make some noise. If we're stalling, they will try to get the team motivated. But at some point in time, the team itself must do something, either making stops, getting a block, getting a steal, hitting a couple of shots. They've got to get the momentum. They've got to continue it and get the crowd into an even louder, especially the students. Students were great in the Duke game. Students were great the other night.
Give them something to cheer
that's
for.
That's it. You got to give them something to keep the volume up, baby.
Don't take bad shots. Make the extra pass. How many times did the ball move extra in that run? The Hoosiers ended up leading by 23.
Yes.
Game was over. Because the ball was moving, the defensive end, you're getting loose balls, you're getting some runouts, you were getting at Iowa, and that's the good news. You kept them off the line, you didn't foul crazy. Iowa only attempted 9 free throws. I know Fran was not happy about that after the game. That's not our problem. But if you're going to throw the ball away, like Iowa did 18 times, how about that being a problem? Indiana plus 8 in the turnover department, only 10 turnovers. And even as bad as it was against Michigan, I believe the number finished, what, 11?
Yeah.
So that's
8
5
and
games.
3.
That's
8, and 8 3.
9, 9, 10, 11 in 5 games. We haven't seen those numbers in centuries. And that's a positive thing because they're not, you know what they're not doing? And Archie made a great point. I don't know if you heard the post game. He said, we've kind of gotten out of the habit of the one-hand pass up the court, and the one-hand baseball pass, we're making better decisions. And that's the fruit of the labor. When you stop doing that, and then you make them guard you for 30 seconds, and Deron Davis gets a layup, that's hard on the other team. That wears them out. You know what's easy on the other team? Two-on-two, you pull up from 22 feet and brick it, and they come right back down the other way.
Yep.
Then you got everybody running between the circles, and then you see what happens. So the message, I think, is getting through. Is it getting through loud and clear? Anytime you're up 23 in the Big Ten at home, I think the message.
It's good.
Especially after you blew a 15 or almost blew a 15-point lead. So exciting times for there. Jawan Morgan jumps off the page for me. Devontae Green's been very solid. I'm going to give him some credit. But I think Jawan Morgan right now is carrying this team defensively. He's carrying it in the paint. And it's Terry, he doesn't need 25 shots to get 15 points.
No.
He's very efficient, and he hasn't been hurt. Knock on all the kind of wood that we have in here. But, again, when you can win in the Big Ten comfortably, Robert Johnson, and I'm not picking on him, I'm telling you what he did, 2-for-9, 1-for-6. He did have 7 rebounds. He contributed there. He did have 3 assists. That was better than the no assists he had. But he didn't. Robert Johnson's not getting 22 a night.
No.
You're playing around him a little bit.
It's too bad he's not. But.
He had a nice game against Duke. Now the next stage is taking that to the next night. Josh Newkirk also had 7 rebounds, only had 1 assist. All right, that's okay. You don't want to be playing your best basketball in the first week of December. So there are some very positive things we're seeing from the Hoosiers and some other things that obviously they're going to need to clean up. Down the road, Colin Hartman comes off the bench, 20 minutes, gets you 13 points and 5 rebounds. He gave you 20 points and 8 rebounds in the Michigan game. How much is that going to help Indiana?
It's going to be tremendous because, number one, he had some great shots in the first half against Iowa that he just
didn't
knock
go
down. But he will. I mean, I would – suffice it to say, I'll bet he hits between 40 and 50% from his threes on the year when he's all done. He does the hustle plays just like he did back in 2016
and
when we
moves
won the Big
the ball.
Ten.
He's a really good passer.
He's a great passer. He's an excellent defender down low. Keeping the guys from getting the ball in the low post. There's just so many things he does that will help this bunch. And maybe first and foremost is knocking down a key three. You know, and he can do it.
If he knocks down some jumpers,
yeah,
he's got probably the best form of the bunch. I don't think there's anybody doubting that. What it's going to do is going to give Duran and Juwan some more room in that lane to operate,
yes,
because they're going to have to go chase him down in the corners. They're going to have to chase him down on the wing. You'd like to see Duran finish a little stronger around the basket. You'd like to see Duran make some more free throws. The free throw thing is right between his ears. But the finishing at the rim, he's 8 games into a sophomore year, right? 9
yeah.
games into a sophomore year. I think I'll take my time and wait for him to show.
Yeah, he's going to be fine.
And the next part is going to get some of that front court rotation rolling as well, just because it seems like the foul bug, it's not going away anytime soon. Duran didn't have any fouls in 18 minutes against Iowa, but Juwan had 3. You don't want Juwan in foul trouble. He's doing too much for you. Hoosiers win. It's on to Louisville coming up on Saturday. As we've told you, the Louisville having some issues at home, but we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll get caught up on the Pacers and Colts as well in our last segment when we come back to the Yum Center, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
What's the other one? There's 3 of them, isn't it? Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Kentucky, yeah, KFC.
Can't go
where else?
Where else would you be?
That's right.
Oh, man. 6:52, one last time when we come back. That's Terry. I'm Glass. You're in the Zone on a Wednesday night. One final time here on a Wednesday night. There's Terry Stoltz. I'm Mike Glasscott. All right, Louisville, Indiana, 2 o'clock on Saturday. Who's got that game anyhow? Sounds like an ESPN.
It is an ESPN double. They got Duke in the first game. Can't remember who they're playing. And then us in Louisville in game number 2.
Very nice. Cardinals struggling, lost their last 2. Hoosiers got to go on the road team, put together an effort. I want to win the basketball game. I like to win. I like to see my team win, But don't dig the hole you dug against Michigan. Learn from that, please.
No, and again, this is one 20,000 at the Yum Center or
yeah,
more.
Everybody's in red. That should be festive.
Yeah, great place to play a game. They'll be loud. They'll be upset because they've lost 2 in a row and lost their last home game. So what I want to see from us is not the debacle that started at Michigan and us get down 10 points real early. They've got a lot of athletes. They're long. They're lean.
Hey, Indiana's seen Seton Hall and Duke.
Exactly.
They're not going to be afraid of anybody.
No,
going forward.
That's good. But they've got 5 guys averaging 6 guys at 7 points on up. And Dang Adele is really good. He's 6'7". I don't know who we're going to put on him right away. I'd say Juwan Morgan.
A lot of guys. Got
to
mix them up.
Because you want
your guys to be fresh on the offensive end as well. You can't have somebody running into a hole down there. Give me a Colts prediction for the weekend.
They lose. It doesn't matter.
John Simon's on injured reserve.
John Simon's out again. I mean, they've got a lot of starters out. I mean, as you mentioned, at 11. They're in for a world of hurt. And, of course, Buffalo's bad, too. It might be a fun game.
And a blizzard on Saturday.
So lovely.
We'll see how that works out. We'll get to the Pacers sooner than later as basketball will take over. That's Terry Stoltz. I'm Mike Glasscott. Thank you for being with us. You've been in the Zone.